Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie to find out more.
More than 18,000 people have signed up to get COVID-19 vaccinations by lunchtime on the HSE portal, which allows 69-year-olds to register for their jab today. Also today, both the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar and the Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney made it clear that people who refuse the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine would have to wait until the end for a vaccine. Well, here's Simon Coveney speaking earlier today on Today with Claire Byrne.
If you decide not to take up the vaccine that's offered to you when it's offered, well, then you're essentially putting yourself to the back of the queue until everybody else gets vaccinated, which will certainly take quite some time.
Well, for more on this, I'm joined now by medical law solicitor Michael Boylan and also by GP Ray Wally, who is also a member of the HSE GP Liaison Committee. And thank you both very much for joining us this afternoon. Michael, I'll come to yourself first. And you hear Simon Coveney and the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar both saying today, if people refuse to take the first vaccine that is offered to them, then you're essentially putting yourself to the back of the queue until everybody else gets vaccinated first. As a medical law expert and litigator, what do you think of those comments?
Well, Sarah, I have to say I was surprised to hear them. And as I say, I'm a lawyer. This is essentially, it seems to me, a medical question. And it doesn't seem logical to me that people who are vulnerable and more at risk should languish at the back of a queue if they're willing to take an alternative vaccine to the AstraZeneca, which obviously people are concerned about, not just people but regulators. So, it seems to me to be almost, it's paternalism and smacks of nearly punishing people, it seems to me. I mean, people have a right to autonomy. The Constitution recognises the right of autonomy and that people should be protected because of their very humanity, and they are entitled to, the law respects the right to human dignity, bodily integrity and autonomy, and people have a right to make informed decisions affecting their own health, but they shouldn't be punished for making those decisions and be put at more at risk to wait until the very end if there is an alternative, what seems to be safer vaccine that's going to become available this month, as far as I understand. So,
you know, the question, question of being able to pick and choose vaccines has been a question that's been floating around since the beginning of the vaccination programme, and the answer has consistently been that is not a route that the government or the health services were willing to go down. I think largely the answer, the reason for that seems to be that logistically it would make things very difficult because of the way deliveries are coming into the country, etc. So do you accept then in a global pandemic the onus has to be on the government and the health service to get as many vaccines out to as many people as quickly as possible, and if the judgment by the health services is that this vaccine is safe for people between 60 and 69, then they need to target that group for the good of everybody with this particular vaccine?
But you have to balance that against individual rights. Now, I'm speaking personally now. As it happens, the day you phone me, I'm 65 today. I actually, without going into it, I'm hale and hearty, but I'm currently, thank God, but I'm a Category 4. I'm higher at risk. I have considered this myself, and I'm not an expert, but I hear what regulators are saying and that there seems to be more risk with AstraZeneca. I'm pro-vaccination, but I would, personally speaking, as a rational human being, autonomous human being, want to wait and be willing to wait rather than take the AstraZeneca. But I shouldn't be put to the back of the queue. I mean, when it is available, it should be made available to people more at risk. I don't understand, and can the government tell me, they're setting up this portal at the moment, and why you can't have a tick box which said, are you prepared to take any vaccine, or would you prefer to wait for Pfizer? Is that beyond their capability of doing? And when the Pfizer becomes available, give it to the people who are willing to take it, who are more at risk. Mm. And according to anyone over 50, apparently 25 times more likely to die of the COVID. So that's my position on it. As personally speaking, I don't understand why people who are more at risk should have to wait until the very end, and that healthy young people would be vaccinated with Pfizer in advance of that. That seems to be a logical position.
Stay with us, Michael. As I said, we also have Dr. Ray Wally on the line. And what do you make of that point that Michael is making, Ray? And it has been made, actually, I've seen it across social media as well, the suggestion that people, there are plenty of people outside of that age group, 60 to 69, who will be very happy to take the AstraZeneca vaccine, who have assessed the risks and feel it's the risk that they're worth taking, because obviously, as we know, it is a very low risk of any serious complications. So why not let those people take AstraZeneca rather than, you know, I was going to use the word force, but ask the 60 to 69-year-old age group only to take it?
Good afternoon, good evening. I just ensure that the first message that we're putting out there is it is the view of the European Medicines Agency and NIAC and myself that we are dealing with predominantly safe vaccines. Certainly with an abundance of caution, there have been a change in the advisory in regard to who we will give the AstraZeneca vaccine to. We are in a national emergency. We are in a pandemic. I think that it probably was unfortunate use of words to say you're at the back of the queue. One is at the back of the queue, but the person is being offered a vaccine. There will be lots of other vaccines available. And when other vaccines become available, that person who has declined a specific vaccine, one would hope that that other vaccine, alternative vaccine, would become available. So what has happened here is it's not the politicians who have set down the guidance in regard to who is going to be given it. It has been based on evidence base. It's been based on a risk analysis that NIAC in Ireland have set down it. It set down who will get it. And what they've decided is that the 60 to 69 age group will be the ones who are after AstraZeneca. Now, if we look at the risk rating in regard to that, we're talking about 4 to 10 in a million chance of a serious harm with AstraZeneca in the 55-year-old age group. So if we're giving it to the 60 to 69-year-old age group, that risk rating will be actually reduced, because as you get older, the risk rating is reduced. Whereas there is a 800 in 1 million chance of dying with coronavirus. Or if we look at risk ratings from insurance analysis, you have a 1 in 1 million chance of being hit by lightning. So we're talking about potentially four times the chance of being hit by lightning as a serious harm. So we believe that these are still safe vaccines. Indeed, the European Medicines Agency are actually asking a couple of universities in Europe to look at giving possibly half doses, because we believe this is a vaccine that has eminent ability to stop a pandemic, a serious disease that's going to potentially kill lots of people.
And yet, we're inundated with texts on this, and people feel like they're being exposed to the risk that this brings, because however small that risk might be, and you've laid it out there in the numbers very well, I think, Ray, it's a really, really tiny risk that we're talking about here. But it is a risk nonetheless, and one that hasn't been identified with some of the other vaccines, and people feel that they're being exposed to that risk rather than being offered a less risky vaccine. I'll just give you some of the texts that we're getting in on this. One person says, I'm really feeling pressured to take this vaccine. Almost if I don't take it, I could die. That's the balance, I'm told. I wouldn't be covered for 4 months and only limited coverage against the African variant. Terrible approach, says this person. Another person says, I think it's cruel to try to force AstraZeneca on those of us over 65. I'd be terrified to take it. I'm 69. I've kept all the rules. I've seen no one for over a year. I'm devastated at the prospect of another summer isolated in my apartment. That one comes from Phil, and it's just sort of a sense of what we're getting in on this. I'm just wondering, do you think, Ray, there could be any other approach around this? I mean, you said that the choice of words go to the back of the queue. You said that was unfortunate, but is it accurate, do you think? And is it fair to ask people who refuse this in that age group of 60 to 69 to go to the back of the queue?
I think that basically when it has been explained to the detail that we're explaining, because we're offering a very transparent approach to indicate what the dangers are in regard to getting vaccine versus waiting for the disease to possibly infect somebody, I think it is a fair approach that you're exercising that decision not to get it, but knowing that in a few months' time you will possibly offer something else. But that is not what the greatest majority, I have never met a nurse or a GP or a healthcare worker who hasn't taken the first vaccine being offered, because we've been confronted with how severe this disease is. Mm. Certainly I remember a 25-year-old gasping for air in the GP hub in DCU that we referred on, subsequently that ended up on a ventilator. And that's what we're being asked to tell people in regard to, we're being blatantly honest with people. They are difficult messages to provide, but we're being honest with people that if you decide to exercise your right, which is what you've got the right to do, that unfortunately we don't have another vaccine to offer you, because it is correct in the way that NIAC have set down the criteria, that they've gone with age first, and they've basically given vaccines which have a lesser risk of causing problems on the basis of the statistics we've got.
Okay.
Like the best statistics you can see are actually from the UK in regard to the risk of going to an intensive care versus getting a reaction to a vaccine.
Okay.
And eminently it states, take the vaccine, the first vaccine that you're offered.
Okay, I'll go back to yourself, Michael, on that.
Well, I just want to say, I mean, I think the comparison there is between getting a vaccine and getting COVID. I mean, there's, as I understand it, and I'm only a layperson, but as I understand it, as a rational layperson, one vaccine, AstraZeneca, has been repeatedly identified as having more adverse events associated with it. And, if the choice is...
But very, very small
risk,
isn't it?
Very, very small, absolutely, very small.
I mean, one in a million chance of dying from it.
The doctor just said it's between 4 and 8 in a million there. If it's 8 in a million, that's what, 40 Irish people are going to be seriously injured by
okay.
the vaccine.
Sorry, I'm going to interrupt you, Michael, because it's really important to clarify that for people. Ray, just on those figures, my understanding is you have a 1 in a million chance of dying from it. Perhaps it's 4 in a million chance of clotting. Is that right?
You have a 4 in a million chance of getting a serious harm due to a vaccine side effect at 55 years of age. That's why they have indicated to give it at a later age, but you actually have a 1 in 100 chance being hit by lightning. So basically, we see that as in a pandemic situation, this is a safe vaccine, which unfortunately, you also have, by the way, a 1 in 1,000 chance of getting a lifetime history of a clot, and as you get older, that increases as well.
Just sort of on these figures, because we've got a tweet on this asking, did you say, Ray, that the chance of dying from COVID is 800 in 1 million? You absolutely did not say that. You said 800 in 1 million chance, is it of getting COVID, is it? Or maybe you
No,
did...
there's an 800. These are statistics
yes.
produced by the Winton Centre for Risk and Evidence, and these are UK statistics, which you have an 800 in 1 million chance of dying with COVID.
You did say that, right. Okay.
So basically, you have a 200 higher chance of dying with COVID, because we're comparing... How we do risk analysis in medicine is, so for example, if we had somebody who's going on a prescription contraceptive pill, you compare it against somebody who is getting pregnant. So you have actually got a safer chance, less chance of getting medical problems on a prescription contraceptive pill than if you were pregnant. We don't stop getting pregnant and we still prescribe pills mm-hmm. because it's a risk analysis. So there is a minimal chance of getting a side effect. While going on a vaccine.
And I do understand that. And Michael, I'll just bring you in on 1 second, but just on that analogy that you've used, Ray, the problem is that, you know, if you want to have babies, your only way to do that is to get pregnant to have babies. Whereas there is other options here. That's what's getting people. It's that there is Moderna.
Because we have a scarcity.
Okay.
We have a scarcity of a vaccine, and we will have lots of vaccines in the next number of months. But the problem is then you're laying yourself vulnerable to staying indoors, to continue to doing all the other things which involve isolation. So we're not saying you will not get a vaccine available to you. What we're saying is if you want to be in the early group of people who gets a vaccine, we're advising people to take the vaccine which is offered to you, which is exactly the way the doctors and the nurses and other healthcare professionals
I'll let Michael back in, please.
Doctor,
yeah.
with great respect... That's what you're saying, but it's not what the minister said. The minister said very clearly that if you don't take what you're offered, you're going to the back of the queue. Now, my point is, I'm a person at higher risk. I want to take a vaccine. I'm willing to wait till a safer one comes along, and I should be entitled to be, and like everybody else who's in higher risk, who's willing to be vaccinated, they're prepared to take the precautions until they can get a vaccine that is going to be readily available, apparently, with 500,000 extra doses being promised. Why can't the system be designed so as people who are willing to wait get it in order of risk rather than be put to the back of the queue as the minister has threatened people today? I don't think that's fair.
Do you think there's any legal issues around this, Michael, just if I could get you to put your legal hat on for a minute, in terms of how the government or the HSE is handling this?
Well, I mean, I think we have to recognise we're in a pandemic, and there's a huge discretion will be afforded by the law in a pandemic situation to public authorities who are making difficult decisions. So I think it would be exceptionally difficult to challenge this legally in the courts. That would be my view about it.
Okay.
But it seems to me, though, that if we're all being told we're in this together, and people want to take vaccines, there should be a certain amount of effort by the government to bring people along with them rather than threaten to put them to the back of the queue.
Okay.
That would be my view.
Another text here, Ray, from a listener. I'm a young 28-year-old man. I'd happily take the AstraZeneca vaccine because I know the risk is minimal. I'm sure there are plenty others who feel the same. Why not just give people the choice?
Exactly.
But what we're doing is we're going down by age group, the NIAC and not the politicians who set down the guidelines, based on the evidence that we've had both locally, nationally, and internationally. We're working our way down, and the highest risk to getting COVID and having a serious morbidity or serious mortality is by age.
Mm.
So that person will get their vaccine on the basis of the risk rating that is set down by NIAC, which we agree with in the medical fraternity, on the basis of when it is available to them.
Okay, but say there's a couple, right? And the wife in the couple is 59 years old and therefore is going to be getting Pfizer or Moderna. And the husband in the couple is 60 years old and therefore has to get AstraZeneca. And they want to swap because the wife doesn't have any concerns about AstraZeneca. The husband does. You know, if two people are willing to swap places, you know, or if one person has no concerns and another person has a lot of concerns, should there not be more latitude given to those people?
Well, I think any prescribing by a medical person involves discussion with the patient. But for example, I've had 75-year-old married people ask, sort of me, when are they going to get their vaccine when their 82-year-old husband or wife got it? And we are applying the same principles in regard to the fairest ethical principles. We're working our way down by age group on the basis of the guidance set down by NIAC, who have looked at this data in detail. It's not being politically influenced. It is being done professionally on the basis of both national and international data. It is the most equitable, fair and safest way to approach things.
Lots of texts in relation to the South African variant and AstraZeneca. One person says if the AstraZeneca vaccine is known to be only 10% effective against the South African variant, why is it being recommended for what is considered a vulnerable aged population, 60 to 70 years? Another person saying Denmark suspended AstraZeneca, as did South Africa, because it fell flat against the South African variant, yet we're expected to take it or get to the back of the queue. What would you say to people with those concerns, Ray?
Well, what I've seen in regard to Denmark is that they have suspended it because they have sufficient vaccines of other sources, and they've been specific in saying that they believe it is a safe vaccine. What I would say in regard to, I actually can't remember the second question you asked.
It was similar really to that. If AstraZeneca is 10% effective against the South African variant, is that correct?
That is what the evidence is in
okay.
South Africa.
So then the question from this texter and the question that's being posed by a lot of people really is, why are we giving a vaccine that is only 10% effective against one variant of the virus to an age population that is very vulnerable to the virus?
So the variant that is predominantly in prevalence here is the UK variant. The AstraZeneca, the South African variant, is not to any great prevalence here. Maybe in time it will be. What we have to do is give the vaccines that we've got at the moment. It's not to say that there won't be boosters of other vaccines and different vaccines be giving. In the future, we may be mixing vaccines. Like, we didn't think we'd have this headache 1 year ago. It is good that we are having these debates and these headaches, but we need to be using the inventory of vaccines that we've got at the moment to be able to protect us going into the future, because the major way we're going to be dealing with protecting ourselves is by way of vaccine. All we've got to do is look at what is happening in Brazil, where they have had no lockdowns, they've had no vaccination program, and unfortunately it's now 40 and 50 year olds have been putting in graves.
Okay, and just to clarify again, your messaging in terms of the numbers, Ray, is you are much, 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 much safer to take the vaccine than not taking the vaccine.
Exactly, and in the age group of 60 to 69-year-olds, the vaccine has very, very low problems in regard to getting the AstraZeneca vaccine and all the other vaccines.
Okay, just final word to yourself, Michael. Have you been convinced at all?
No, I have to say that I believe in autonomy and choice, and that people have a right to make an informed choice and shouldn't be punished unduly. And I'm heartened by Dr. Wally saying that people will be vaccinated in order of priority. But I have to say the minister's words today did have me alarmed.
All right. Well, thank you both very much for joining us this evening. That's Michael Boylan and Dr. Ray Wally. Back after this.